Welcome to another episode of Find Your Sustainability. My name is Lee Ball. I'm the Chief Sustainability Officer here at Appalachian State. And today we have three guests in the podcast studio. It's our first ever attempt to have multiple guests, more than one. First, we have David McAvoy, Professor and Chair of the Department of Economics in the Walker College of Business. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
Grace Waugh, a senior sustainable technology major. Welcome, Grace.
Happy to be here.
And last but not least, we have Matthew Mayer, a senior economics and political science major. Welcome, Matthew.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to start with Dave. The goal of this podcast is to share with our listeners an experience that we've all had together of attending the COP27 Conference of Parties in Egypt this past fall. Prior to talking about the experience in Egypt, I just wanted to ask you, Dave, can you tell us a little bit about the UN Conference of Parties?
Yeah, sure. My interest in climate change negotiations and the United Nations, the UN kind of climate conference really started way back in graduate school as an economics major. I've been interested in kind of the strategic aspects of policy surrounding climate change. And so the body that governs this at an international level is the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, or the UNFCCC. And every year since 1992, except for maybe a COVID year, we have an annual conference of the parties. Roughly 200 countries get together and try to work towards a common goal of mitigating greenhouse gas emissions and limiting the damages from rising temperatures.
So Dave, why did you want to provide students the opportunity to attend a COP?
I mean, to be honest, I just thought it would be a fun, cool, interesting, hopefully life-changing kind of experience. Not knowing too much about how it would shake out, we have two of our initial cohort students here with us today. And so I thought that bringing students would be kind of eye-opening in the sense of how massive this problem is. And although from the press, I don't know, you say the coverage can be disappointing in terms of how we've done in trying to manage this problem, just being there kind of demonstrates how important this is for so many people. I mean, thousands and thousands, 30 to 40,000 delegates, you know, spend resources, time, energy, effort to try their best to work on this problem. And so I think just being there is something that you can't capture in a classroom environment.
Grace, why did you want to attend the COP?
Yeah, so my major in sustainable technology is in large part a very technical degree. So I added an economics minor my sophomore year in order to try and get another perspective on sustainability, because the biggest argument against a lot of the renewable energy initiatives that we have is that they're not going to be economically feasible. And I don't believe that to be entirely true. And so I wanted to get another perspective on that. And so when the opportunity to go to the conference and see not only what all of the other countries are doing in their sustainability efforts, but also the economic aspects of it and the negotiation portions, it seemed like a really great experience to kind of see what the rest of the world is doing and get out of the bubble that I've lived in the United States for my whole life.
Matthew, I have the same question for you. Why did you want to attend the COP?
Yeah, this is, I think, a really great opportunity for me specifically because of my combination of majors. I have an international concentration in my political science major and an environmental concentration in my economics major. And so this really was just the perfect opportunity for me to go out into the world and see what people in my fields are working on. And it was just really eye-opening opportunity to see what kind of career pathways and opportunities are out there for people who are interested in sustainability and environmental problems.
Dave, what was it like observing the students while you were there?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think while I was there, I was worried about all the procedural kind of day-to-day travel arrangements. And so I think it was the first day that we entered the conference, seeing how students took their own path in navigating this. Some just kind of seemed comfortable right away in navigating such a huge conference, and others need a little bit more help, took a little bit of time. I think the cool part was witnessing that transition from overwhelmed or like, what's going on, to like towards the end of the week, it was just like, this is where we go every day. So let's see what's on the agenda and let's see what progress has been made. And so it was that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought for me, especially towards the end of the week, after we'd been there for days. And it was exhausting and there were a lot of challenges. But seeing you all just remain super engaged and really focused and interested. If we were going to stay another week, we could have. And I think you would have been just as engaged and interested the whole time. There was no shortage of content, that's for sure.
The hotel would have gotten a little old.
The lack of Wi-Fi would have gotten a little bit old, but
we managed.
I felt like I could have stayed there for another month and been fine. There were so many people to talk to, so many different perspectives, things to talk about. We didn't find the green zone, which was just this big several buildings worth of expos and different presentations of technologies and things that industry is doing. We didn't find that until probably day three or four. So like halfway to three quarters of the way through the trip. And that I could have spent 2 days at on its own. So there was so much to see.
Grace, did the COP27 experience influence your career path in any way?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, it did. Yeah. So before this, I mean, I said that I had the economics minor, but I didn't feel very engaged in the economics department, mostly because of COVID. So most of my econ classes had been online. But getting this experience, and as Matthew said before, seeing all of the different career pathways, possibilities, things that people were doing was really inspiring to me. And so it really set me on more of a data-driven path, a more numbers, economics-based path than the purely engineering state that I was in prior to going.
How about you, Matthew?
I would say certainly. There were so many different people there with different positions and goals that I had no idea even existed. There was one panel I went to, there was an economist from the IMF, and he was talking about valuing economic valuation of animals and tidal marshes and grasses. It was just this wealth of information, and you could tell that he was so much of an expert in his field that it was really eye-opening to see how deep you can go in even such a small corner of the world of sustainability and the world of climate change.
Matthew, what was something surprising about the experience?
I was surprised to see the lack of protesters at the conference. I'd been hearing and doing research, and I'd heard that there had been often protesters at these conferences for people demanding more action or more concrete deliverables. But we didn't really even see that until like day three or four, I think, until there was like some small organized protests that were allowed within the conference.
Grace, what was your general takeaway from the COP? Are you hopeful that the COP process is able to make measurable differences?
I would say it's kind of a mixed bag as far as takeaways for me. Learning about the different conferences going in, I think we all kind of went in with a slightly cynical view of it, simply because we had gone through the history of the conferences and seen that really very little substantial difference had come out of the COPs as a whole. But going there and listening to the negotiations and seeing all of the people there, I came away with a more hopeful view of it. Like, even if this isn't the end-all be-all for climate negotiations and we're not going to solve everything through policy at these, this is still a big conference where everyone in the world who's interested in fighting climate change and making a difference can come together, share what they're doing, get a new perspective. And it was honestly kind of refreshing.
Matthew, how did it make you feel attending the COP? Hopeful for the future of the Earth and humanity?
I think I had some of the same sentiments as Grace did. Going into it, I didn't have a whole lot of hope, to be honest, but I came away with this idea that at the very least, I have seen with my own eyes 30 or 40,000 people all in the same place who are well-articulated, well-educated, and passionate about solving these issues of sustainability and climate change. And so it did give me some hope that there are a lot of really great people out there working on this issue. And even if we don't solve it at this COP or the next one after that, there's going to be change happening at every level around the world, which is, I think I have something to be optimistic about.
How about you, Dave?
I mean, I think as an economist, I kind of face these problems or approach these problems thinking. The underlying assumption is that countries are kind of looking after their own self-interest. And you know, that's just the traditional way we would model the world, whether it's people or firms or countries. And the advantage to that is that not just me, but most economists, if not all, agree that we need to do something about climate change now. And the gist here is that there's these collective gains from mitigating greenhouse gas emissions and not exceeding our threshold of 1.5 degrees Celsius. And those collective gains are there. It's a political process to try to reach some sort of goal. And it's going to take some transfers of resources, you know, from one part of the world to the other. But we've done that before. We've done that before regulating the ozone through the Montreal Protocol. And there are important differences. There are important similarities. But I'm hopeful that because there are gains to be made from this and the damages are so high, that we're going to make significant progress, just not as fast as in an ideal world.
The COP27 was in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, on the southern end of the Sinai Peninsula. I think for all of us, it was a new experience. Grace, what was something culturally that surprised you or was interesting or fascinating that you remember?
One of the most memorable experiences from there was seeing the inside of the mosque in the New Market Center. The name of the mosque escapes me right now, but me and the other two women on the trip, we actually had to go in and put on one of these coverings. And there was a woman in there who helped us put it on. She was very sweet. And then we were able to go inside. We had to take our shoes off. It was very quiet, but it was absolutely gorgeous. And it was an insane structure. So it was one of the most memorable parts of that trip to me, was inside of that mosque.
Matthew, what did you think about Sharm el-Sheikh?
I had a great time there, and it was lovely to see different cultural perspectives. I came away from that trip realizing how friendly all of the locals were to us, and it seemed like all of the other visitors for the COP. It was really great to just walk down the street, and they'd strike up a conversation with you about what they're selling in their store or, you know, what they want you to buy. I had a really great time just learning about the people there.
From the student perspective, would you recommend international travel to your peers?
Definitely. Like this, I had been trying to go abroad for about 3 years at this point, and COVID kind of stuck a wrench in that plan. But when I finally did get abroad, it was mind-blowing, and my college experience wouldn't have felt complete without it.
Matthew?
I would absolutely agree. I had similar sort of travel plans, but COVID sort of derailed those. But this trip really offered a lot of things for me educationally and culturally, and really helped me gain that, I think, international perspective that up until that point I'd been lacking in my education.
Would you recommend students attend another COP trip?
Honestly, yes. If you are interested in sustainability, international policy, the environment is going to be a major part of any international policy made now and in the future. So COP27 was an amazing experience for me interested in the environment and policy related to it. And anyone else like needs to know what's going on at this conference in order to be properly literate in sustainability.
Matthew, would you recommend COP28, 29, or 30?
Absolutely. I learned so much in that 1 week time span that I remember reflecting on the plane ride back, that I think I had learned more in that week than I had in my entire college career up until that point. It was really, really transformative.
Dave, what are your plans for this year's COP?
Well, Lee, hopefully with you in tow here, we will be taking the second cohort in this program, the United Nations Climate Negotiations Program, to Dubai for COP28. And that will be during the first of the 2 week conference that starts in December. It starts a little bit later this year. But I think it's kind of a nice time of year where exams are kind of starting and students aren't going to be missing too much in the way of classes. And so, yeah, we'll be with six students in the second cohort.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Never been to Dubai, another trip to the Middle East, and it's going to be fascinating to see this kind of continued perspective and outlook from the Middle Eastern perspective on these, you know, huge challenges that we all call sustainability or decarbonization or climate action or you know, helping with biodiversity. It's such a huge umbrella, the topics that are covered during these conferences, and there's a little bit there for everybody. So I think that this, you know, I feel very fortunate to have been able to attend, and thank you all so much for being on the podcast. It's been a treat.
Thanks for having us here.
Thank you for having us on. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you, Lee, for inviting us to the podcast. And I also want to thank you for, not all universities have a chief sustainability officer attend with the student cohort, these COPs, COP27 and 28 to come. And there are some significant advantages to that. And so we appreciate your involvement. That's great.
My pleasure.
Find Your Sustainability is a production of the University Communications Department at Appalachian State. It's hosted by Appalachian's Chief Sustainability Officer, Lee Ball. For more information about Appalachian State sustainability, check out sustain.appstate.edu. For more podcasts, videos, and articles related to Appalachian State, check out today.appstate.edu.